people 10 minutes, it lets people come and can move closer to each other. So the idea of these different workshops is to share best practices, basically. So what do we do that works, and works well in terms of whatever the subject is? This particular subject is about involving people and delegating. So I'll share a few minutes. Some ideas, some practices that we have. I think it's a fairly general problem that in most places you find a small group of people running around like maniacs. And a lot of people watching them. And commenting about. And criticizing them. Right? And often what happens is a sort of welcome. So, so what happens is a sort of a vicious cycle in which the key activities are so key and so important, there's no time to stop even to prepare people. And there's a few attitudes that have to be borne in mind, right? And the first is that, I guess.
So, is he recording it now?
Yeah.
Oh, he's recording.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to report, if someone else wants to report, then make sure. It's fine. And what I've always found is that it's much, you know, even if you spend more time with somebody, here we are. Any special. Even if you spend more time training somebody, you gain a lot of time later on. I remember Baba's instructions for me personally. In those special groups when we first started to do service. Are you going to record? No, that's okay. Puts me in a situation where
are you recording it?
No, it's okay. There's things to put out. I want to have free hands.
There is a, what's it called,
boom? Yeah, there's a, turn it down a little bit, the sound, there's a buzz.
That's your heart,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
reduced sound, yeah. So Baba's personal instructions for me, it's like the whole thing of involving other people and delegating is summed up in the lesson, keep others in front. And especially in my case, Baba gave very clear instruction, put the local people in front, because they know what they're on about, you know. Even if I wait for 30 years, I'll still be a foreigner where I am. Local people have a sort of an understanding. I mean, I don't know how it is where you are. Some of you are in countries like yours, and you're from Russia and you're in the Ukraine. Okay. Well, the rest of me, you're not in your own place, right? Are you in your own place? Yeah, I'm sure we serve Africa. It has to be sort of a foundation sort of thinking, really. The only way you can involve somebody is to give respect for what they know. And they know a lot more than, not a lot more, but they know differently to us. And so Baba gave me that instruction. And he also gave another instruction, which was also very powerful. He said, make a centre like London and keep yourself free so that you can move around. And so the aim was to start up a place where, you know, others could be doing it. So one of the reason why we don't delegate and put others in front, perhaps fear is one of them. Insecurity, lack of trust, you know, that those people will do things differently from you. They will think differently. They are different. You know, everyone is different. And if they were talking about conflicts this morning, right? And one of the things that comes up in any conflict you'll see, there's always an unspoken phrase which is like, I don't understand why you don't understand how I understand. I can't understand how you think differently from me. Why do you think differently from me? Everyone will think differently from me. So to involve others, first of all, you have to be unarmed, in a sense. No arms, no weapons. And are willing to learn from others. And they will do things differently. So you've got to be prepared for mistakes. And really the whole essence is in Baba's teaching, keep others in front. And what does that mean? You know, that will mean three stages. When you start off something, you will be the center, because you've been sent there, or you are there, you've been inspired to do something. You have that preparation, you have the gear, and you have something to meet, and there you are with people that you're meeting for the first time, perhaps you're seeing people that you don't know, and suddenly you think, okay, I've got the information, I've got the expertise, I've got the knowledge, so that's why I'm where I am. New people are new, and you don't know much, and I know more than you. So that sort of attitude is the basis of the relationship, even if it's unspoken. It's a subtle thing. And so you're right, in fact, because you have the knowledge and you have the expertise, and you put yourself in the center of a group of people. Yeah, maybe. You were not ready, but Baba's giving you this role, or Daddy's giving you this role, or something has happened and you're in this role. And there you are in the center of a group of people who are trying to understand what's going on. They have a right to participate in service. They have as much right as I do, actually. So that also has to be there. But if you keep it like that, then you can see 20 years later, 30 years later, you'll be in the centre of a small group of people, probably different every 2 or 3 years. That small group of people changes because people come in and, you know, they see, well, there's not much for me to do here, so, you know, I'm not going to stand around here. You'll be in the centre of a small group of people 20 years later. So you've got to do something. The second stage is you involve them, right? That means you open up the communication. So there's not a wall. And it's absolutely essential that you don't build a wall around yourself. That, you know, I have the ideas, I'm the responsible one, I know what I'm doing, even if it's subtle, even if it's done in a humble way. You know? Even if you think of it self-respect, right? If you don't allow people to be creative, then they won't continue. They won't. You probably look at your own centers, the people that come and go. How much have you allowed them to move their own creative energies? If you're more creative, if you're a creative sort of person, it's a bigger challenge, because when someone comes up with an idea, right? And, you know, it's their first attempt to do something, and you say, no, I wouldn't do it like that, or, you know, your creativity just sort of blasts them, you know, they don't go anywhere with it. So the second stage is you open up for feedback, you open up for communication. I'm an open door person, you know. My door is always open, you can come to me anytime, you can tell your stuff. But what you've done, you've just moved a little bit down the line and you're still at the centre of things. And you find the group of people around, okay, they're communicating better, they're saying their stuff. They're circulating better, but in fact, you're still holding all of the power. You keep all of the good things for yourself, and you give the sort of, you know, lesser tasks and less important things for people to do. Now, people will never learn how important they are unless they do something important. And the third step.
I tell you, what if you have the opposite situation where you empower the students so much to teach that they can't bear to do karma yoga, and you feel like holding all the cleaning all the pots, and the students are running all the courses and they don't want to do anything.
Okay, right. We'll get to that. The third step is that, you know, is the whole thing of building trust. What our system is here, it's not really autocratic and it's not really democratic, but somehow trust is involved in the better practices. You'll always find trust, and it takes time to trust people, because they will do things different from you. You know, for example, in my case, I was there and I got there in 79, and Sister Luciana was already looking after the centre there in 81 in Brazil. And then there was a bunch of sisters, right? Okay, and they didn't believe in themselves even to give courses. But then, how was it when you gave your first course? How was it?
Challenging.
So we also made mistakes, didn't we? But somehow someone or something trusted in us, and you know, trusted us, and that gave us confidence. And then, of course, we made our mistakes, but then we grew with those mistakes too. So you've got to be prepared for it. You've got to give some space for mistakes as well. Now, how to, this isn't a how-to class, by the way. It's not a class. It's just sharing some ideas about best practices. But just a brief description of what we've done in Brazil is, and other places, because they follow the same scheme of things. First of all, there's a lot of trust, at least from my side, these souls, even though I don't agree with a lot of their ideas. But it's not a question of me agreeing or not, right? Daddy gave me a very good instruction. She said, only intervene if there's something of Srimat involved. Otherwise, if they want to paint the wall blue or pink, you know, if they want to do this or do that, or that sort of service, or that sort of service, just give some wise advice now and then, but really only intervene if there's something related to Srimad. And that seems to have worked in a sense, because from one place we started service in 11 countries. And all of those people's somehow are firing along. Of course, they have their emotional hiccups, like everyone. There are problems, and I'm not going to say that there are no problems. The basic, passing on of trust tends to continue down the line, not to the same level, but what you do when you delegate, you're just passing on the trust, basically. Making people feel that they have something to offer. And just the last bit before you can all share your ideas about how that your question is when you've given out all of the
good stuff,
and you've left with it. The thing is that you have to be an all-rounder yourself, and show very clearly that there's no difference between the status of helping to organize a program and being there should be the same level of joy, and to help in a program is like an honor. That's the thing you have to build in people. It's not easy. It's to be able to help in a sense is like an honor. It's good that they feel honoured to be able to cook something or to give a talk. It should be the same sort of honour. That's the sort of attitude that I try to build into people. Anyway, what do you do? What do you do to involve people in your places? That's what we're on about here. And I'd like at this stage to delegate someone to, because I obviously can't be writing down the ideas that come up, because I don't have a book with me. I came from one place and I came from the market directly, so I didn't get one. So can someone be just jotting down a few ideas and then later on make a presentation? Who can we delegate it to? Yeah?
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So what do you do to involve people? What have you seen that has worked for you? You've got thousands of BKs in Sri Lanka, so what do you do that works?
I was just thinking that I have been keeping it in a small group also. So there are so many of them. And So I was looking at, if they have the speciality, to do something, then allow them to carry on. But otherwise, I try to make them as helpful to the other things, but not to give them the putting them on front only when they have the capability or speciality. And I thought
you suddenly realize that there's a small group of people doing everything and a big group of people watching. And it's the same thing with all good things, huh?
Actually, I think just while I'm not coming, but I can.
It's a dialogue, open discussion.
Yeah, I can see a similar thing, I think. I can see how I've done some of the things that you're saying, and yet I haven't sort of mapped it out carefully enough. It's good right back and looked at everyone involved, how to get everyone involved, I haven't sort of methodically gone about it.
Good suggestion to help you thinking. If you were Dick, who would do what?
If you were Dick.
No, but if you were not there for any reason, like dramatically removed, some illness or some death or, you had to go somewhere, try to visualize your place,
but
to see who would be doing what.
But if you're dead, then you're
carefully. Okay, let's say you've been removed. Bill's been asked to leave Barcelona to go to Sevilla. Okay, and then let's say you're in, you know it's not there. So who would be doing what? Try to see how the things would work with the second group of people, and maybe with a third group of people. That's a good way to think. And the second question is, if that is the case, why aren't you preparing them already?
One challenge that comes up, because I often find that though I'm delegating, I always feel like I'm the center again, delegating to people, and that is a lot of work. And often when I try to get the others to delegate to others, they go, no, you ask them. They'll do it if you ask them. They won't do it if I ask them. They listen to you, they won't listen to me. And if I listen to that, then I end up in a situation where I continue to be center of everything forever and ever. But often they see themselves as, like an equal group, and they don't like to involve each other somehow.
I know that, for example, in my case, I know I'm pretty, almost useless these days. But if I were not there, 1 to 6 months, 12 months, the things would go on as they are going on. So what we need for us as coordinators, national coordinators even, is to move to a space where actually our role should be more spiritual rather than administrative. So if you're doing something that someone else can easily do, why are you doing it? Okay. What's your experience?
So when Baba talked to me about China service, what I can say is that because there is a front and those people behind for them to follow. And also Baba gave very clear instructions in. Share your yoga experience with them as a friend.
As a friend.
As a friend. As a friend.
Yeah, he said the same to me.
So we started service in 1988, half time. So in 1996 or 97, because of the police chasing after me, so I took them back safe. So now to have 205 went back. So the thing actually was really started, and then moving on with there. So when I first go back, I find what sort of like I just started to Muni, really like me. Try to really explain everything to them to the Muni, and then hold a small retreat for them. Then in 2 years' time, we slowly gain their trust and confidence on you. You have to work for that, You don't come just like that. So now I think you have reached a point by what you say, you just more on Yang and yoga, and then let them do whatever they want to do, and you give cooperation, let them have a feeling if there's a need, you're always there. Something like that.
That's right.
Sometimes they don't want to acknowledge that they are doing or something today because they don't feel worthy enough. But I make a point that first we try to acknowledge what everybody is doing and praying for them and creating value in my heart. It's a part where we celebrate. So that they feel happy when they because some people realize that they do a lot of work.
But how do you start with these trends, Because if you praise one person, it's very easy. But if you start gathering, and you can start doing it, it's something great. I would like to know how are you able to make a theme or make a... You understand,
Well, I think for it's already stopped, so something we call reflection, for example, the rise of movement. Right? Everybody is doing something. So those people are already doing something. You have to
Thank you.
360 process.
Who
were they?
Well, I interviewed the design team members, some of them, designing for the program.
Designing program for PCC?
Yes, for retreat. And then there's the same jargon and someone else did that, which is a totally different thing. But I think it's a measure also of bringing them closer. But asking really questions like, kind of what spiritually sustains you and what you like about
them. Beginning to know
them. Yeah, just getting to know them and really building this understanding and having this rapport with them makes a difference. And I was just so amazed how thriving everybody, design teams, I'm not talking about standard art, that's another field, another area, but were really so sustained.
Size center.
Can I ask a question? What is the
determination is whether someone is qualified for a department.
Yes, skills.
Duty or quality?
Yeah, qualities, duties, and skills for duty would have been showing. Like there's one working in the bank, and she's in public relations, and she's quite good at that in the center. So people sort of voted her for that. They said it's a lesson. And she has a volunteer. And it is a kind of relationship. If they feel you're not suited for the part, they will tell you.
And
you
that's
quite open, and I like it. And
honesty is another ingredient.
Because one was writing the notice board, and she had volunteered, and she hadn't been improving in making it creative, interesting, attractive, and neat. And so she said, well, you know, what about you give someone else a chance? She was ready to say okay, and she learned, and she's back on it. Both of them are doing it now. Another thing was, once we have done the strength of the center, what are our strengths as people see us from the other centers and what are our weaknesses. And when we did examine the weaknesses and we worked on it, it didn't improve. And apart from that, one of the things I felt was that the training among themselves is more hands-on. I can't be job trained in the world that people talk about it, and seeing by doing and observing and knowledge. So people I find keenly look on, if they're not good at making something, they will come by and watch. I notice, and they, the next time ask if they can help.
You create the atmosphere where that sort of role is natural. Bruce?
It's more of a question. I think this has a relationship with truth. But I want to put it in this group. That if there are souls who they want to serve, but they want to serve their own way. There's no communication in the sense. And they want to go out. How do you deal with that?
I didn't understand the question.
For instance, someone wants to write a paper and pass it in the newspaper.
Okay.
At VK. Which, and they want to do it just by themselves. They want to serve. But they want the authenticity in it. How do you deal with that?
Do they have the qualification to do it, or do they have the ability to write?
The ability to write is there.
But is, are they open to suggestions?
Not much.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? They want to serve, huh? They want to give them space, but they don't have to communicate.
They don't want to communicate.
There
are some folks that they don't want the center to be involved. They want to prove and show that they can do their own thing by themselves.
Yeah, that is the issue.
It's never possible that, you know, they've got experience and they've offered some kind of service in the center and not so very positive response they get. And then they say, let me just do it on my own. I still keep serving.
Ask them that from the beginning that it's a question of your interest. They feel that it will not be accepted. They don't accept it. So this is why they are. But if they were clear once or twice, so if I may understand you want to do, so clear then it will be possibly accepted.
Probably a relationship issue there,
I
think.
There's always one or two students on the outside of the who don't want to go through that. And I think we have to be relaxed with that. Because 90% or 95% is following what we want to, you know? But one or two always come there.
Yeah, but if it's not just one or two, it's a thing that repeats itself, then maybe you have to look at yourself as well. I think The other thing that maybe it's good to bring in, someone did mention it, because it's no use trying to plant good seeds in the desert. So there's no, let's say, nurturing going on. Things won't grow, whatever you try to do. And not only that, the sort of soil, it's not just a question of light and water and, you know, water of love and the light of knowledge and that sort of thing, which is what Buddha's metaphors are. So the actual the structure can be against you. You know, the way you've got things set up can be against you. So if you have a vision of how service can operate at a small level, and that's replicable at a big level. And that's in throughout South America, we've instituted a management system which has three key ingredients. And when a center or someone starts off, they're doing all of it. And it becomes easy to slot in. So there are three things that intersect. Our key area is education, right? Spiritual education, that's our product, right? So it's no use having a good product unless people know that you've got one, right? So you've got to be outgoing and, you know, PR and press and all that sort of thing. You have to advertise what you're doing, otherwise, you know, you've got a great product but no one wants to buy it. And on the other side, you have to administer the offering. So there are three areas: administration, education, and this connection with the world. Those are the three basic areas that we have. So within education, what are the areas? Courses, training, materials, blah, blah, blah. Maybe literature is there too as a support mechanism. But you see education as a whole thing. And so you can see where people can get involved. Administration, what is it? Finances, maintenance, cleaning, cooking, the whole thing, you know, preparing for programs. And then the external stuff is contacts and press and PR and everything like that. So you've got a vision of the possibilities. And if you like, we can send you the model. It works. Even on a small center, though it works on a big center, it still works because, you know, you'll have someone connecting with something, and then you see the role of the coordinator, but he's put in the middle of it all. Right? A little understanding what's going on in the educational area, administrative area, and the external area. So if you've got a structure where your good feelings will work, they will probably work. If you've just got good feelings and no structure, they won't go anywhere. And if you've got just a structure, no good feelings, nothing will happen. If you'd like, we can send the model. Yes, please. Okay, it's noted there. I'll delegate someone to send it to you. I'd like to listen to what his take on all this. Okay. Anyone else like to share what they do and what works?
I was in this room that area about time.
Speak up so the paper board in the
room. I was interested in that area about people wanting to do things but wanting to do it on their own, you know, not wanting to run the center of time. I mean, I think I've found that things like that come up, and I manage my way through it. And usually I find it probably is like a relationship thing, because I usually just talk through the stuff. And then usually what happens is either we sort of end up, you know, communicating on it a bit, and it goes ahead in some shape or form, you know, but with communication, or the soul drops it and they sort of, you know, it disappears off the radar, the whole idea, you know. I've found both things can happen. You know, a lot of people's experiences, you know.
Mm-hmm.
sabemos que este sistema horario, y cada uno adoptó un color. Entonces, luego vimos la estructura y cada uno pudo ver dónde estaba predominando su sergar. Y hubo áreas que se tiñeron del color de una persona y esa persona quedó como cabeza del área. Entonces, fue un sistema que yo llamé el sistema arcoíris y fue más divertido. O sea, cada uno tenía un color y tenía con el color la tarea que quería hacer. Y luego, al ver la estructura concreta, la persona, por ejemplo, el área de educación quedó toda en azul. Y el azul era el por ejemplo, ¿no? Y otros quedaron.
¿Puedes describir eso en inglés? El sistema, a mí me hace traducir, solo describir qué está diciendo. Pero ya. No, yo no sé cómo es el sistema, pero tú vives el sistema. Uh-huh. Escribe en inglés.
Y algo interesante es que cuando alguien pisa el área de otro, porque quiere hacer una tarea, yo le digo, ¿por qué no vas a la cartelera y miras quién está en ese color? Porque tú estás haciendo algo que... Fíjate quién está en esa área.
Bueno. So Sylvia, she's saying that they applied this system that we developed in South America for all the centers, and she's put an adaptation on it, which is very interesting, and Sylvia's going to describe it.
In our center,
In Uruguay,
this is structure that Ken was explaining, and Sylvia just came up with an idea that we put to each area a color, a different color, like blue, red, and orange. And everyone would put himself in each area. I mean, put like, I would like to be in this area or doing something, blue, and this area, blue. And each time that one... each person is a color, okay? So
it becomes a rainbow, that's what you said. It's like a rainbow.
If I'm blue, I will put myself in an area, and a different area, doing something. So she can know what I like and what I would like to do in each area. So every time that I will step in an area that is not mine, she says, okay, go to the board and look your colors. It's not your area.
Your color.
Look your color.
Okay, so she'll have to send me the adaptation so that I can get the details. Okay. It's like Baba said, that if you want to, like, it's love and knowledge, right? Knowledge is a bridge to Baba, and love is what you can do to cross it. You have the knowledge, but not the love, the nice reach, but you're still on the other side. No. If you've got love and no breach, what are you going to do with it?
What? It's also interesting when you have, like, Daddy was in Istanbul in September, and it's often when you have big programs that you really see the potential and the interest in service. And how many people come forward, and how many specialities do you realize? And you want to keep that going. Sometimes it's not that easy because you want to, when the big programs like that, still like Christians have to still create things for them to get involved with. That's quite a big job, really, to keep creating stuff to get help and to get involved.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If there's not much happening, people tend not to cooperate.
There's those who like to be involved, and there's those who like to be needed when there's a big need like that.
Oh, there's a sort of a group comfort zone, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you know, the personal comfort, and then you get a group comfort zone where everyone's comfortable doing their little task, and that's it. And someone comes and says, well, everything's taken, you know. I can't even switch the lights on here. There's a light switcher on.
What do you do to such in such a situation?
You have to extend. You have to go move around. You have to go out from your sin and do stuff out of the sin.
Switch around.
Well, in South Africa, in January this year, we actually changed our structure. And it's too soon to actually say, you know, whether it's going to be successful or not. But the reason we changed it is because we were working, we have a core group of 7 people. And all of those 7 people coordinate centers as well. And what we found was that all the sort of decision making was held in just these 7 people, because they, each one of them would be the sort of main person responsible for a particular department or outreach. And so, for example, I might have all legal things as my responsibility. Another core group member might have accounts or things like that. So basically the core group members had the centers to run and all these areas of responsibility, and they were just completely bogged down. But also communication was so slow. You know, to try and get consensus from 7 people with every single sort of decision that you need to make was just so boring. And so, you know, people got frustrated because they would put forward a suggestion or a request and take so long to sort of...
I mean, the different, like, cities, yeah?
And so that's when we started to think about, you know, changing it so that it's a bit flatter in the sense that you don't have to wait for these core group members to make decisions, but, you know, try and empower more people down the line. And that's what we're hoping will happen. So that we've borrowed this idea from South Africa. We have an executive of 3 members. One of them is responsible for all our outreach. They don't have to do everything, but they are responsible. The other person is responsible for all departments, so accounts, literature, centers, all those sort of things. And then each and every one of those categories has a coordinator under the department. I don't know if I've explained this clearly, but the idea is to empower far more people down, so that there's many people who have major responsibilities. And those 3 people on the executive are not responsible for a center at all. So they may be living in a center, but somebody else has that responsibility. So their task is really to keep tabs on all these different areas of service. And it looks good on paper.
In Brazil, a few years ago, they, instead of having just a national coordinator, they divided the country, because Brazil is so huge, bigger than Australia. 2.5 Indias, it's quite a big country. And so we've divided into 5 regions. And that person actually acted as their own national coordinator. Whatever happens there, they do it. And they cannot be responsible for a center. They have to look after the region.
Just one more thing.
That's because Brazil is half South America. And otherwise, it's too difficult to manage. Now that they're fully responsible, it's as if it was like a country, you know, that's the mentality. What else?
I understand perfectly all these ideas of delegation and authority, but what I notice is that with new BKs, new BKs that are coming now, they already come with a lot of creativity and a lot of independence. No? But what do you think? There must be some time of learning how we work together, how the systems are. You know, very quickly they want to manage their own project, and then it doesn't work really. I mean, if you yeah. you could say big space, let allow them to use their creativity, but they don't know, as you said before, how to communicate, and things become very very much very complicated. But on the other hand, that creativity and that enthusiasm is good. I mean, I don't know if the process would be just having to have a bit of patience or something.
Patience. I think you have to open up the communication because trust can't happen if there's no dialogue. And dialogue means there's no boss. You have a dialogue, there's no in charge at that moment. We have to listen a lot. And, you know, air the things and listen, you know. How can you have the balance between using their talents and understanding that there are, you know, we have some systems here that we've worked to our advantage over a long period of time that work. So, you know, please, these are the systems, but let's understand from your perspective as well. Probably a problem of communication.